This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Speaking to his flock in the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon, we join Archbishop Alexander Sample as he reflects upon our faith, culture, and life in the church on The Voice of the Shepherd. Joining Archbishop Sample is your host, Dina Marie Hale. And now, The Voice of the Shepherd.
Greetings and welcome to The Voice of the Shepherd with His Excellency Archbishop Alexander Sample. I'm Dina Marie, and today on the program I want to focus on keeping Christ the center of our lives, and we should see that also reflected in the center of our churches, that is in the tabernacle, in the presence of Jesus Christ, truly present in every tabernacle in the world. So as we reflect on that, Archbishop, would you help us in opening with prayer?
Yes, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come to these closing days of the Lenten season and prepare to celebrate the Paschal Mystery with our minds and our hearts renewed, help us through the Paschal Mystery to reorient our lives on your Son Jesus, so that he truly is the center of our lives, the center of our hearts, the center of our homes, that he truly does transform us and change everything in our lives. So we place this radio time in your hands, Father, asking you to lead it and guide it in a way that will help accomplish that good for your people. And all this we ask through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Mary, conceive without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, as we get started on the conversation, I thought just to give people a little update, I'm not able to get to the cathedral on a regular basis, but I know there's been some, at least during the Lenten season, scaffolding and some changes going on. But give us a sense of some of the what's been happening, because progress has been happening.
Yeah, I think so. Well, a lot of the scaffolding that's up in the cathedral right now, quite honestly, promised to be down very soon. It's just to do some structural work, some unfortunate things that need to be shored up again. And you know, the building's very old. And like all old buildings, from time to time, needs some you know, structural work and maintenance. But the main thing that's happened at the cathedral that I am so excited about, so I invite any of our listeners to come visit the cathedral soon, is we have relocated the tabernacle at the cathedral. In the cathedral renovations that were done back, I believe it was, I should know this, the late 80s, under the vigilance of Cardinal Leveda, then Archbishop Leveda, a separate chapel was created for the Blessed Sacrament. So as you faced the sanctuary of the cathedral from the congregation, to the left of the sanctuary was a small chapel where the tabernacle was located. And that was the Tabernacle of Reservation of the Holy Eucharist over there. You know, and I just have to say, I fully respect and understand the thinking, you know, that went into that to create a special place, a separate place for Eucharistic reservation and Eucharistic prayer. It was my sense not long after I arrived here that, you know, Jesus in the reserved sacrament of the Blessed Sacrament was not getting the reverence and the prayerful devotion that really is should be given. Because of its the location, it was a very small chapel, and it quite honestly, it wasn't terribly conducive to prayer. And its location, I think a lot of people didn't even know where the tabernacle was in the church. And I would watch people come and go from that side entrance of the cathedral, and you know, not even realize and acknowledge the presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament right there. You know, our tradition is that upon entering the Church of the Blessed Sacrament, His presence, we would genuflect as a sign of devotion and love for Jesus in the Eucharist, and that just wasn't happening. So it was kind of my idea from the very beginning, not long after I got here, that eventually I would love to see the tabernacle in our cathedral relocated to the main sanctuary of the church. Monsignor O'Connor, under his wonderful leadership as rector of the cathedral, and of course with my blessing, and I would say even urging, we have finally managed to accomplish this.
Yeah.
So it is absolutely wonderful. It's interesting because the whole sanctuary, back part of the sanctuary of the cathedral had a huge oriental carpet on it. And as part of this project, that carpet was taken up. And what we discovered is that right in the center of the sanctuary in the marble is a beautiful star pattern that was put into the marble of the center of the sanctuary. Right underneath, I don't know if maybe people haven't noticed, there's like a stained glass window dome over the center of the sanctuary. And this little star pattern created in the marble sits right beneath the center of that dome above. It's like something's supposed to be here. I think when the carpet was down, I think my chair might have been there. But I never knew that design was there. Mm-hmm. So it was very providential. So what we've done is we have moved the tabernacle with its beautiful base and the beautiful baldacchino over the tabernacle, along with the two sanctuary lamps that were hanging in that side chapel next to the tabernacle, move those into the center of the main sanctuary of the church. So as you enter now the cathedral church, you look toward the sanctuary, you see the altar, but then beyond the altar, mm-hmm. you see the beautiful tabernacle sitting under the wonderful baldacchino over it. And we've moved my chair, the cathedra, the bishop's chair, off to the side, to the right side as you're facing the sanctuary from the congregation. So the way I like to put it is, Jesus is where he belongs and I'm where I belong, out of his way.
But I think that reminds us that our focus is on Christ. We certainly have the crucifix and we want to see that love of Christ that we look at. But also when we walk in the church, my mom always reminds me, it's the red candle, right? The candle is lit. That sanctuary candle reminds us Jesus is present in this place of worship. And I think it's beautiful. I've only been able to watch the live streams, which I've been able to see the progress over the last few weeks, and it's just absolutely beautiful. And it reminds us to put Christ first.
Yeah, you know, I think that part of the sort of the thinking at the time, if you will, the liturgical, theological thinking at the time was that, you know, we needed to create a separation between the celebration of the Holy Eucharist, the celebration of Mass, the Eucharistic celebration, which is Mass, as distinct from the reservation of Jesus mm-hmm. in the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. That somehow there was a, I don't know, almost like a conflict, you might want to say, between the two, or a confusion, or I don't know what quite word to use, that people were thinking that there need to be a clear separation. And that's why oftentimes new chapels were being constructed with the Blessed Sacrament reserved in a separate space, or even moved off from the center of the sanctuary to maybe to a side altar, so as the focus in the sanctuary would be on the altar of sacrifice where the Mass is offered, and that somehow the tabernacle presented a distraction from the Eucharistic mm-hmm. celebration. Well, I just think I understand, again, the theology and the thinking that went into that, but I think what we've learned in the decades that have passed now since this was kind of a common move in parishes is we've lost that sense of reverence for Jesus reserved in the Blessed Sacrament. You know, we used to come into our churches and there would be silence when we entered the church because Jesus was present in the Eucharist, in the tabernacle, and we wanted to be prayerful and reflective and meditative in his presence, and we would not want to create any kind of distraction or emotion or any irreverence toward Jesus in the Eucharist. And I've been in churches and celebrated Mass, you know, in places all over the country, all over the world, and wherever the tabernacle has been in the center of this main sanctuary, it's never created any conflict in my devotion or concentration or focus of where it should be during the Mass. So I hope it will. Quite honestly, it's part of our Eucharistic revival right now mm-hmm. in the church in the United States, where we're trying to reignite a devotion, a love, an appreciation for, even an understanding of the Eucharist. This is a move. I guess, that I've made here at our Cathedral Church to highlight this, that it's time for us to get centered back on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and who makes himself truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, not just in the celebration of the Holy Mass, which is the primary Eucharistic devotion, of course, yeah. is the celebration of Mass. And I don't think having the tabernacle there prominently present in the sanctuary in any way diminishes the Eucharistic sacrifice of the Mass. And I think when you do come into the church and you're there in prayer before Mass, after Mass, or on a visit, to be able to look into the sanctuary and know that our Lord is there and he's with us, dwelling among us in the tabernacle, is a great source of consolation and comfort. And quite honestly, it just, for me, it looks like this is the way it was supposed to be. Yeah. I mean, you cannot imagine, you cannot believe when you, until you see it, just how perfect it all fits together now.
Well, and I think, as you said, when we uncovered that and you saw the star, it's like, Jesus is supposed to be right here. Right. So there is this affirmation, we're on the right track.
It was amazing.
I love that. With that renovation, that Adoration Chapel space is going to be used in a different way. How will that be used now
for the
cathedral?
It's still going to be a devotional space.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there'll be some, there's a beautiful stained glass window in there, by the way, which actually was put in at the time of the renovation, and it's a kind of a stained glass window depicting kind of the general layout of the cathedral in multicolors. It's really a beautiful window. But there will be other, you know, holy images in this little chapel, probably on the walls. But the plan is to place in there a votive candle stand of some kind, probably maybe a pyramid design of some kind, because it's a circular space. I guess maybe it's octagonal. I can't remember how many sides it has, but it's kind of a rounded space. And it seems to me if we put in a votive candle stand in there, maybe in also in a circular design, maybe, you know, in a pyramid type shape or tiered in some way, this will be a place for folks who come to visit our cathedral to pray. To light a votive candle. You know, we don't have a place to light votive candles now in our cathedral church. And this is a great part of our tradition, is upon paying a visit to a church, a Catholic church, when we have a special prayer request, that we light a votive candle. So that's the plan. It'll still be a devotional space, but of a different kind.
Right. And maybe talk a little bit more about that, because sometimes we will visit a shrine. We'll visit, particularly as we get into spring break and the summertime, we may go to different churches where there is that area. There might be a particular statue in a particular part of the church where we light a candle, maybe for an anniversary of the death of a loved one. Mm-hmm. What might the purposes and really the intentions for lighting a candle?
Yeah. Well, of course, you know, anytime we light a candle, it's a reminder to us of the light of Christ, you know. But the particular devotion of lighting a candle is the idea of our prayer remains before our Lord. So when we come to make a prayer in a church, it's a petition of some kind. It could be a prayer of thanksgiving, as you said. It could be a prayer of remembrance. But most often, I think most of the time when I've lit a candle, it's with a particular intention, a request, something I'm praying for or someone I'm praying for or something in my own life that needs special help from our Lord and from the saints. And so when I go to the church and I go pay a visit to the church, and maybe now, you know, I pay a visit there to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament at our cathedral, and I have a special request, a special intention, a special prayer that I've come there to offer. We come to the church to pray, to commune with the Lord. Now, it's true, we can pray anywhere, right? I pray all the time, all over the place. But there's something special about prayer in the church. This is the house of God. This is the consecrated temple to the Lord, a place set aside and reserved exclusively for prayer and worship, and especially with our Lord dwelling there in the Blessed Sacrament, in the tabernacle, under the Eucharistic species of his body and blood. It's a special place for prayer. So when I go and I pray there, I light a candle as a symbol of my prayer before the Lord. That candle lit is my prayer. It's a visible, visual symbol of the prayer and the petition that I have offered here. And so for the time that the candle burns, in a sense, I can have a sense that my prayer continues to burn before the Lord. It's an interesting devotion, really, that developed in our Catholic tradition, you know, because I think there's a great consolation, isn't there? At least, you know, as I recollect this in the times I've done this, I've been to many shrines and lit a candle at many shrines. And to know that I've had this special visit to this place, I've offered a prayer here, I've lit a candle here, and as I walk away from this beautiful encounter with Christ or with the saints, my prayer remains. That moment in prayer that I had there continues to flicker before the Lord. And it's like a continuation of my prayer and petition there in the church. So, and we can light a candle simply to our Lord, or if we've asked the intercession of a special saint, we could offer, you know, a votive candle for that as well. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful tradition, and I'm happy and thrilled to see this tradition reignited, no pun intended, at our cathedral church, so that people who come can pray there, offer a petition to the Lord or thanksgiving, and then light a candle, so that as they walk away, in some sense, their prayer continues to be held there before the Lord.
Right, you know, and the prayers go up to the Lord as the smoke goes up with the incense. Mm-hmm. I think about that the incense rises, so our prayers. And I get this image of the Paschal fire. You know, when we start that time of preparing for Easter, we light the candles that from a dark room, we're starting to prepare for the coming of the light of Christ and the resurrection. We're part of sharing that light. First, we have to receive from Christ's light in order to give it back to others.
Yeah, that's the great. Oh, you're just talking about it now, knowing that it's coming up as we record this. Holy Week is not very far away, and to look forward to that Easter vigil, and you know, we begin in the dark, and the darkness. That's why the Church insists that we don't begin the Easter vigil before nightfall, not sunset, folks out there. Nightfall. Mm-hmm. It's dark. And that's the symbolic of the darkness that Christ came to dispel. The darkness of sin, the darkness of death, the darkness of the enemy's hold on us. Christ pierces the darkness. And so we light that Easter fire, and we bless the fire, which is the light of Christ. And then the Paschal candle is lit from the fire that is blessed. And that Paschal candle is the symbol of the risen Christ. And that candle lit now is carried into the darkened church. And at the entrance of the church, the candle is lifted high. And the deacon sings out loud, "Christ, our light. Christ, our light." And then as that candle is processed into the church, our candles are lit from the light of Christ. So the light of Christ, which has come to dispel the darkness of our lives, passes through our hands to one another, and suddenly the whole church is aglow with the light of Christ, which has come from a single flame. And now we all share that flame. And those lights that we carry, the light of Christ, is that symbolic idea that we are reborn in Christ in our baptism. But at this time of the year, at Easter, we are renewed in our commitment to Christ, in our discipleship, in the new life that we've received in Christ, as we will prepare later in the liturgy to renew our own baptismal promises.
Right, right. As we talk about the tabernacle, share a little bit more about the presence of the tabernacle. It makes me think about the Ark of the Covenant.
Right. Well, that's
right.
I'm
thinking there's a connection.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, sure. For sure. You know, the Ark of the Covenant was, of course, what was used and carried among the Israelites as they journeyed with the Ten Commandments in them. That's funny. I think most people's, although I shouldn't say most, a lot of people's kind of familiarity with the Ark of the Covenant is also the movie The Raiders of the Lost Ark,
right.
You know, and Indiana Jones going in search for the Ark of the Covenant. But this was, you know, it's very important. The symbolism here is powerful. Because the tablets, the Ten Commandments, upon which God wrote his covenant with his people. Remember, Moses went up onto Mount Sinai, and God entered into a covenant with his people there at Sinai. And it was sealed in the blood of the sacrifice that was offered. But the covenant was enshrined, if you will, on the stone tablets, on the tablets of the commandments. This symbolized God's covenant with his people. I will be your God, you will be my people. If you observe all that I command you, I will be with you, I will journey with you. And so God actually gave instructions to Moses on how to construct the Ark of the Covenant, which was the symbol of God's dwelling among his people. And so very detailed instructions were given in the Bible to Moses about how God wanted the Ark of the Covenant constructed. And then inside the Ark went the commandments, the tablets of the commandments. And that symbolized God dwelling among his people. And so they would carry the Ark of the Covenant with them as they journeyed and would put it in the tent of the dwelling. And it was very, very strong sense that God dwells now among his people. Well, Mary, the Mother of God, is sometimes referred to as the Ark of the New Covenant because her womb is an ark, the ark of the dwelling of God among his people, because it was in her womb that the eternal Son of God took flesh and dwelt there in her womb for 9 months. Mary carried the eternal Son of God made man in her womb. I mean, can you imagine that? Mary, a human being, I mean, the most sublime human being ever created, Mary, a human being, carries in her womb the eternal God made flesh. So she is the Ark of the New Covenant in that sense. She carries the presence of God among his people. Now, in our churches, we have the tabernacle, which is the place of Christ dwelling among us. Just as he took flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mother, so now he makes himself sacramentally present, body, blood, soul, and divinity under the Eucharistic species. We have to understand that Christ's presence in the Eucharist, and that's why this is so important. Christ's presence in the Eucharist is, we use words like real presence, true presence, substantial presence, that Jesus Christ is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity under the Eucharistic species. And this is true to say this. He is no less present in the tabernacle of our church than he was in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, than he was in the manger at Bethlehem, than he was hanging on the cross, than he was risen from the dead. It's the same Christ truly present. That's why we genuflect before the tabernacle. And that's why when Holy Communion is over with at Mass, we don't just simply gather up the hosts that are remaining from the Mass and put them back in the containers in the sacristy for the next Mass. We reserve the Eucharist because the presence of Christ remains, it perdures, after Mass in order to bring communion to the sick and those who are not able to join us at the Eucharist, but also for our prayer and our adoration. So the tabernacle, the dwelling of God among his people is a reminiscent of the tabernacle of old, the tabernacle of the Ark of the Covenant, and the tabernacle of the temple, where God dwelt among his people. But now it's not just a symbol of God dwelling among his people. It is God dwelling among his people. And that's what's honestly is incredible as it would be to have the Ten Commandments. If we still had the Ark of the Covenant, it's infinitely more amazing that in the tabernacle of our church, in every church, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, is truly, truly, substantially, really present, body, blood, soul, and divinity among his people. It's just so awesome.
I think the challenge is, as you talk and remind us, in this Eucharistic revival, which should always be, what is my relationship to Jesus Christ? How do I spend that time in his presence? Do I quiet myself? Do I listen to him? And I think as we come to a close, you know, your invitation for us to really maybe have a new and refreshed look the Eucharist at the tabernacle, mm-hmm. in my church, mm-hmm. in my home parish. How do I act? How do I respond? How do I present myself mm-hmm. to my Lord?
Yeah, you know, it's a sad reality today, and it really is sad, I have to say, and people sometimes comment on this and maybe even complain a little bit about it, that, you know, our churches aren't open, all of them, throughout the day. Many are, many still are. But unfortunately, due to security concerns, and there have been vandalism in many churches across the country and even in our local area, we've had, quite honestly, folks, our pastoral center got vandalized again a few weeks ago with some horrible graffiti written on our building. You know, there are people who are not well, who are out there and doing a lot of damage. And so it can be a dangerous thing to simply leave the church open and unattended. But for those churches that are still able to do that, at least for some hours during the day, what a great thing to do is to come and visit and spend a little time with our Lord, and or come early for Mass and spend some time in prayer before Mass in the quiet of the church, I hope. Or stay after Mass mm-hmm. and pray and make a good Thanksgiving. But to quiet ourselves, as you say, before the Lord, to adore Him. He's there. What if He were standing right in front of you? What would you do? Well, that's what's happening. He's right there in front of you. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, is right there in front of you. You know, and it saddens me when I see people you just kind of ignore Him. Or you're so busy chatting with, you know, there's plenty of time to chat with neighbors outside the main sanctuary of the church. You know, Jesus is present. And our attention and focus should be on Him as it should be in our lives. So I would just say, just come, just be with Him. He wants you. He waits for you. He waits for you in the tabernacle. He wants you to come and spend time with Him. He loves you so much, and He just wants to pour His love out on you. You know, somebody once put it this way, that we can sit in front of the tabernacle and we sit in the sunshine, S-O-N, the sunshine, the shine of the Son of God on us.
That's beautiful. Well, let's continue to keep Jesus Christ at the center of our lives each and every day. And with that, would you help us close with your blessing, please?
O sacrament, most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon all of you, your family and loved ones, and be with you this day and forever. Amen.
Amen. And as always, we want to thank you for joining us on this episode of The Voice of the Shepherd. For Archbishop Alexander Sample, I'm Dina Marie Hale. Until our next encounter, may God bless you.
You've been listening to The Voice of the Shepherd with Archbishop Alexander Sample, a production of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. To subscribe to this podcast and access to all of our past shows, visit moderndayradio.com. Please email your comments and questions for the show to info@archdpdx.org. Learn more about the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon online at archdpdx.org. Peace be with you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through MaterDayRadio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.